Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. Excited today to be joined by a couple of the founders of Business Video School. We've got Nick Niehaus and Jeff Fitzer. I cannot believe I got their names right, but pumped. Must mean this is going to be a good show. Excited to talk about marketing, branding, and more specific, excited to talk about video. We've got a lot of really cool things happening with some of the, you know, video strategies we've been talking about for a while, and just really excited for this conversation to guys learn more about creating video content. So Jeff, Nick, thanks for jumping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yes, excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's get to know you just a little bit. Give me the quick story. How did you guys come across or come into starting Business Video School, and how did you kind of get to where you are today?
Take it, Nick.
Yeah, as I say, this is kind of a fun story. So Jeff and I, about a year and a half, maybe more like 2 years ago at this point, got introduced because we were two video guys. Basically, we just like were making videos, so somebody thought we should meet each other, which turned out, you know, to be pretty accurate. So we met, you know, we exchanged some strategies, some ideas for about a year, and then when we started to consider the idea of building a school to teach, in particular, real estate agents how to use video in their business. Obviously, I thought of Jeff. You know, Jeff had only in that time only continued to kind of grow his influence and continued to crank out videos at a pace that's very hard to keep up with. I'll admit he puts out a lot more content than I do. And so we got together and we sort of realized, you know, this makes a ton of sense. He'd been thinking about doing something similar. We sort of had a beta in the works already. And so we kind of workshopped that for a couple months, brought a couple other partners in, and got it up and running. So yeah, it's been good. It's been about, what, I think 7 or 8 months now, Jeff, since we officially launched?
Yep. It was early spring. It was right before COVID, really, is actually when we launched this.
Now, I was in St. Louis, right? We did that. You guys had me down to speak to a big group of people. And I remember you guys, I think somebody mentioned in passing that you had some video stuff coming out. I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then you guys released Business Video School. But it's a great great execution on, you know, an idea of really helping people understand how they could use video to grow their business. So let's dive into that. First of all, Jeff, why is video so important? Why do you think that so many people should use video to grow their business and brand?
So I'll just use myself as the example. So I started doing video 4 or 5 years ago, and it was because I run a big mortgage branch. And at the time we changed companies. We left and went to another company, and everybody went with. And the company I was with is a local regional company to our market in St. Louis. And I needed to figure out, how am I going to bring a new name to this market? How am I going to differentiate? How am I going to stand out? And this is right about the time Facebook Lives were starting to become a thing. And I saw a few people executing it on a business level, which I thought was weird. But I was like, I think they're going to be onto something here. So I am going to jump on this bandwagon. And it just gradually evolved into doing a lot more video for social media, which evolved into people reaching out saying, I see you all the time, and you're the quote unquote video expert, will you help me? And it just, I realized the power in consistently putting myself out there, being authentic, especially being authentic, being myself, sharing my life, sharing what my travels are and what I'm doing on a daily basis and things like that, that kind of led us to where we are. And the reason, I'll add to what Nick just mentioned about Business Video School, is the reason why one of the reasons we came together and we collaborated on a consistent basis after we met was that he was thinking about doing a video school. I was thinking about creating something as a value add to my sphere, to real estate agents. And that's why this came together. And that's kind of the thought process, I think, with video, is that you can touch a massive audience without just having to go to networking events and shake hands and kiss babies. You can grow your potential opportunities. It's a mind blowing. There is no limit, you know.
And now, you know, 6-7 months into this this year into you launching it, is actually wildly inappropriate to shake hands and kiss babies. So it's that's a convenient new medium that we've got here, or old one, I guess. Nick, I'm going to ask you this question. I know you've been in video for a while. I asked Jeff why we should do it. I want to ask you why it works. Why is video such a powerful tool when it comes to building relationships? Why is creating content matter? Like, why is this stuff actually working for people?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I love psychology. Sometimes I almost wish I'd studied psychology in school, but you know, business, there's a lot of psychology there, especially marketing. And one of the things that you got to remember with video is that humans never evolved with the concept of video, right? Like we evolved, you know, with the idea of speaking face to face to people. You know, at some point, maybe the written word kind of factors into our evolution, but that's it, right? So the only thing our human brains can comprehend when we see someone's face and that face is talking to us and we can hear their tone of voice and watch their facial expressions, the only thing our brain can understand is that that's an actual person sitting down in front of us having a conversation with us, right? And that is insanely powerful. And so it's the reason that celebrities develop, you know, they have this fan base of people who just end up being obsessed with them. And it's called a parasocial relationship because it's not simulated. I mean, to those people, they've actually gotten to know that celebrity, right? They've spent hours and hours and hours watching them, especially on video. And this can happen to some degree with audio and some degree with writing, but it's much, much smaller because they can see them, right? They're getting everything except for being able to sort of touch and smell that person, which again, like you said, we're not doing much of that sort of stuff anymore, right? And so that impact of seeing that video in your brain, even if you're not consciously thinking it, really sort of feeling like you're having a conversation means that you can build relationships with as many people as you want at any given time. Like all you had to do is be willing to get on camera and work on your skills and kind of make some compelling videos and put them out there. And from so just that point alone, I think if you could have a lot of other reasons to do video, but that one should be enough for you because that's incredibly powerful.
I think it is so powerful. We just came off of obviously our big video marketing summit you guys were a part of. And something that multiple speakers had alluded to was the psychological benefits of using video content and how many neuro studies have been done around what you just said, that like your brain literally cannot tell the difference. Your subconscious mind does not know the difference between you on a video, us having a conversation on video right now, versus if we were literally sitting down in front of each other. I think that is such a powerful tool. I hear so many people talking about conversion problems, and you guys know I'm a gigantic proponent of video remarketing. And if we can literally solve the conversion problem by getting in front of prospects immediately after they become leads, that's what video does. It literally puts us in front of the people that we're wanting to do business with in a way that allows us to build relationships. So Jeff, let's talk about this. How have relationships changed things for you? How has video enhanced that? How can maybe an agent listening to this take what we're saying and start using videos to go out there and build relationships?
You know, there's a lot of ways that you can do that. And the first thing that we usually go to is just one-to-one communication, employing a platform like a BombBomb. You know, so when most of us, myself included, I still get nervous sometimes when I get in front of the camera, and I've done thousands and thousands of videos. But when you're just getting into that mode and you just want to dabble with it, you just want to become comfortable, start integrating that into your email. Subscribe to a platform like a BombBomb. There's other ones out there where you just now deliver an email. You deliver the same message that you typically typed out in two paragraphs and said, you know, here's where we're going in the transaction. Let me explain what the attached documents are. This is what I need you to sign, et cetera. But you're doing that via video. You can display that, you know, that tonality, and you can show emotion. And we've literally won customers over it where we would do that, explain to them their options or explain to them why something was the way it was. And we would get a response saying, you know what? Because you took the time to do that for me, I just felt, you know, I just had a closer feeling towards you, right? And so it was, that's how we won the deal. And then that is the other thing, is just that fact that, gosh, I had an interview right now. I'm interviewing an assistant right now, and she's based out of Seattle, which is just weird how this works, right? And she told, not this is exactly from her mouth, I feel like I know you way more than I should because I just stalked all of your social media. And, you know, she's spouting off my wife's name and my daughter's names and stuff like that. And it's like, it's weird and crazy, but at the same token, that's what draws audiences to us because they get to know us without actually knowing us.
What are some of your favorite platforms? I know you talked about BombBomb, but what are some other platforms? You know, if somebody, let's take your assistant, for example. If we believe, or if we happen to think that our prospective buyer clients, seller clients aren't doing exactly what your prospective assistant did, and that's going out and stalking us, learning about us, trying to connect with us, especially as it relates to the most significant financial investment we will ever make in our entire lives, I think that we're fooling ourselves. What are some other platforms where we can putting out relationship-based content, or what are some of your other favorite platforms that give prospective buyers and sellers an opportunity to go and connect with you the way that maybe she was talking about with your prospect, your assistant?
Well, first of all, what you said is so true. And if people think that's not happening, they're lying to themselves. Like, I think nowadays when you get introduced to somebody or somebody says, hey, you should use so-and-so, the first thing that a lot of people are starting to do, and that's just going to continue to grow, is we go and quote unquote stalk them. We go search them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, whatever platform it is you're using, you go look them up. And the person who has the most content usually is going to win. And that's kind of the key to it. So I just mentioned the platforms. There's obviously TikTok as well. You know, for somebody like me, I create a lot of, you know, what I would call evergreen content. Content, not necessarily both evergreen, both that you could, you know, you could share into the future, you know, it's perpetual use, but also that I can share across multiple platforms. So it's the type of content that might be appropriate for Facebook and Instagram, or also appropriate for LinkedIn. Also, and so I just, what I end up doing is just cross posting and sharing content across the different platforms, because here's the thing, there are different people looking at different platforms every day. So you can't overpost to this stuff, and you just never know when you're going to catch somebody on that platform scrolling. They resonate with a message that you give, and boom, you just created a connection and they're going to remember you.
Nate, talk to me about what he's describing here. We talk about creating content that you can use to cross post amongst other platforms. So just give me like a quick, if I'm a newbie trying to figure out how to create video content, how do I even create this stinking video? And then how do I do what Jeff's talking about? How do I start using that and cross-posting it or posting it on different platforms the way he's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, well, so first of all, in terms of making the content, start as simple as you possibly can. I think there's way too many people trying to imitate stuff they're seeing someone else do, but that person's been doing it for years and they have a ton of experience and they have a fancy equipment. You don't need any of that. So I think, you know, selfie style videos with your phone are completely acceptable. I will say one of the things you can do to make your videos look a little bit more polished is just add a tripod, right? So just get a tabletop tripod or a traditional tripod. Make sure you have a phone mount for it. Get your phone on there. There you go. You got one right there. Perfect. And that's just going to at least give you nice stable footage, right? Because if your camera's bouncing around because you're holding it, that can be a little bit harder to watch. But that's about it. I mean, beyond that, you don't need to get any more elaborate. I think talking head videos where it's just you sitting in front of the camera talking to it are completely acceptable when you're getting started. Obviously, you can have goals for sort of adding complexity or doing more creative things as you go. But I always tell people, like, your creativity is going to emerge when you start to understand the medium that you're working with, right? So once you start to get familiar with being okay looking into a camera and talking to it, then you're going to start to think, ooh, what if I walked down the street with my camera, you know, and then you might want to invest in a gimbal, and you can kind of take it from there. In terms of like what you should make and then how you distribute it, I think one of the things I will say is, like, Jeff is extremely active on social media, and not everyone is that way. And so you do have to be careful about, you know, you want to be sharing your content to the places where you are spending time, right? So if you don't go out and start creating accounts across a whole bunch of different social platforms that you don't personally use, I've seen that mistake happen a lot. Because for one, you're just wasting your time if you don't have an audience there. And then two, if you do get a bit of an audience and people start to engage with you, but you're not logged in, you're not going to see it, right? But in terms of kind of how to do it, I think that you definitely want to be posting natively to the platforms. That means uploading the videos directly to each platform. If you want to save some time, you can sometimes use third-party tools like a Hootsuite or a Buffer to share that. Research has shown that sometimes you'll get less reach if you do that, but it is quicker. So if it's easier for you to just throw your video into a Hootsuite or Buffer and get it out on the three or four channels that you use, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is you use regularly, that's fine. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I'd approach it. But if you can upload it directly to each, you're definitely going to get much better reach. If you're sharing a YouTube link on Facebook, hardly anybody's going to see that video.
Great tips. Yeah. So let's say we got somebody that's just starting and they do what you said and they started out simple. You know, we asked all 14 speakers that we had for the video remarketing summit what equipment they should get. Every single one of them just said their phone. So it tells you, like, you literally, if some of the most influential people in the industry are just using their phone, that's probably something you should do. But let's say we get our phone, we start creating content, we get over the suck part, right? Okay, I've done it a few times, I don't suck as bad, I'm getting better and better and better. And we start to take things to the next level. We start to notice that our brand is really taking a shift, our engagement is up, our reach is up. How do we climb to that next level of content creation? Maybe we get vlogger status or we start investing in equipment. Like, what steps would you recommend somebody take once they've done what you've said, they started simple, they're starting to get some growth? What's the most effective way to get to that next level? Should I invest in better equipment? Should I invest in people? Should I hire an intern? Like, how could I climb that video ladder to, you know, get to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, let's just address sort of the financial part of that. You should only ever spend money on anything when you know it's going to solve a problem that you've already identified, right? So I've seen too many people buy equipment or even hire a videographer, work with somebody when they were just doing it because they sort of felt like they should. It wasn't necessarily solving a problem. And that can almost create more problems if you do that, because now you have equipment you're trying to use and you don't even know why you have it. So first of all, make sure you keep that in mind. So buy stuff when it's going to directly solve a problem that you've already run into, right? So, you know, if you need a gimbal, well, you only need a gimbal if you're going to be moving around. So if you start making videos where you want to be, you know, going around town, you know, a lot more motion, then you can invest in a gimbal, and that's going to be helpful. Because the other part of this is it has to be about your audience, right? And so you can experiment. I think there's kind of two ways to do this. You can just try lots of different kinds of videos and see what resonates. Like Tristan did this recently where he was trying stuff on TikTok, and all of a sudden he made some videos about this OM4 gimbal that had just come out. Now we're talking about gimbals, and he got like over 1 million views on just 2 videos, right? So it just sort of blew up when he wasn't getting anything near that. And so he went, oh, okay, I guess I'm making more content about, you know, video equipment, because that's what my audience likes. So there's that approach. But I also think you can skip some of that experimentation if you just try to really understand your audience. So you only have to really the right kind of content, the stuff that's gonna start to blow up and sort of like really gain traction for you, is gonna be where you're talking about something that you're interested in, right? So you have some excitement, some passion around it, but so does your core audience, right? And so think about your ideal customers, or even maybe ask some of the people who are watching your videos consistently, like, what are they excited about? Why are they watching your stuff? What do they like? What do they dislike? Obviously that's a little bit of work to do the research, but if you can find that overlap, if you can find your passion combined with theirs, then you're going to win moving forward, right? Because you're always going to enjoy making that content, but you already know that they're going to enjoy seeing it. And so you can either identify that through sort of asking questions. I mean, literally you could just post a video saying, hey, you've been watching my stuff. What else should I make? What do you want to see more of? And you will get answers to that, right? But you can go out and ask them, or you can experiment. And one of those ways, you're going to find these veins, sort of these topics that you can just sort of start coming back to. And then once you know the topic, I think then the experimentation in terms of the kinds of videos you're making, then that's more important, right? Once you know the topic, then you can experiment on the style, right? But you don't necessarily need to be trying a bunch of styles until you know what you should be talking about. That makes sense. Yeah.
No, that makes a ton of sense. Jeff,
I was going to add something to that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, go for it.
So, Nick mentions like talking about the type of content or even finding what people want. What I did was simply this. I created my pillars of content. You define what it is you're most passionate about, because that's easiest to talk about. So when Nick talks about the talking head, or he talks about sharing something that is easy for you to get up, if you could go sit down in your friend's living room and talk passionately about gardening because you are a gardener, you can also do that in front of a camera. So find that pillar of content. So everyone has two automatically: personal life, anything you're doing with your personal life, family, travels, whatever. And then work, because we all have work, right? We all are displaying a brand. We're sharing a brand. We're sharing something. We're selling something. But then find two or three other passions that you have that become pillars. And so for me, it became like video and social media. Those are my passions. So I share a lot of content around it. Fitness and diet, because I'm very passionate about both of those things. So it's easy for me to share. I'm not a licensed trainer. I have no education in as a dietitian, but I know probably more than most because it's a passion of mine. So just what I've found by default, sharing my experiences with trying veganism or vegetarianism or my different experiences with different workouts, I find people gravitate to that and they soak it up, because there are a bunch of people out there that love that and are passionate about it, and I inspire them, and then it makes them my raving fans. And you have that too. So whether you're into crocheting, it doesn't matter what the topic is. You might think it's boring, but there's a lot of other people out there that share the same passion, no matter what it is. And just go with it, because it's easy to create content around that.
And if you are a vegetarian, don't worry about losing followers like Jeff probably did, but it's, no, I'm just kidding. just kidding.
It's amazing how many people come out of the woodwork that you didn't ever talk to before. I mean, yes, you take crap from your friends. That's normal. That's anywhere. That's anything right. you do, but you'll be amazed at how many people come out of the woodwork to say, just start sharing things like beyond what I ever imagined. And it's really pretty crazy.
How important off the back of this conversation is it to know your customer? I mean, one of the things that we preach in marketing is that rule number one of marketing is know who you're marketing to. When you guys are creating content, like how much are you thinking about the people you're creating content for?
I mean, I'm always thinking about it. You know, I think that's, I think you can start without having to think about it. I mean, cause especially video, there's such a mountain to climb in terms of just getting used to being on camera and so, you know, just sort of getting over those initial fears. So you don't necessarily have to obsess over day one. But beyond that, I mean, you have to stay focused on that because, you know, and then that is where, like, I don't disagree with Jeff, but I do think you have to look at the overlap between yourself and your audience. Cause like there are certain things that I have a passion for that I wouldn't necessarily make content around because I don't think it's going to resonate with the people I'm trying to attract into my business. Right. So for instance, like we work with real estate agents. Well, the average real estate agent is 57 years old. You know, I mean, we had to consider an audience that in a lot of cases is twice my age. So there are certain things that I might talk about with my millennial buddies that aren't going to resonate with that audience. So you do want to keep that in mind and make those adjustments. But I mean, this is becoming even more important, I think, because of the way you can target people online now. I mean, because of the way you can target ads, because of the kind of email list we've been able to build. Now that sort of really granular targeting is possible, which means you need to make sure your message is also very specific to those people. Because if you put a message in front of an audience that's targeted that it doesn't resonate with, then you're completely wasting your time and money at that point.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jeff, you talk about creating content. One of our, seems like most people in the industry follow a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, right? And he talks often about not necessarily trying to create content, but documenting what it is that you're doing day in and day out. And I think that if many people could just make this mental flip or switch, you know, flip the switch in their minds where they truly understood this. I think that one guy that executes on this almost flawlessly is Ryan Serhant with Million Dollar Listing and now some of the new things, new ventures that he started. Guy literally just documents what he does day in and day out, as opposed to sitting back and thinking, well, I'm going to go create this. I'm going to go do that. I'm sure there's a lot of that going on, but how much of your day and how much of an agent's day should be focused more on just documenting what they're doing instead of thinking, well, I got to go set aside time to create all of this stuff. How much easier could that make, you know, the act of content creating?
Well, and that's funny that you mentioned that too, because I actually disagree with Nick and what he said and that he doesn't share some of the things he talks about with his millennial buddies, because I, for one, am curious. And I think he'd be surprised that more of that audience is curious about it. And so when you say this, the first thing that comes to everybody, every professional's mind is I'm going on social media for business. So am I, 100%. I'm on social media for business, right? But I don't create business content, because the reality is the majority of our followers or our friends on these different platforms are not going there in a realtor's case or a mortgage case to find a mortgage. They're not going there to find a home. They go to Zillow for that, right? They go to realtor.com for that. They're not opening the Facebook app to do that. So when we talk about documenting our lives, use a great example. I'm a passionate coffee drinker, nowhere near what other people are, but I've found, this is really silly, that every time I post about coffee, I get a ton of engagement, which is me playing the algorithm game, because then I know the algorithm on Facebook sees that and they're like, gosh, everybody loves Jeff. I'm going to keep throwing his content on their feeds. So now I know that all those coffee people that are commenting on my feed, now the odds increase of them seeing when I post something about mortgages, so they then remember what I do. And it's just little things like that. This is a perfect example. I bought a new coffee maker, making coffee. I can't get it to taste like Starbucks, which bothers me because I like Starbucks coffee. I took a lot of criticism for that, by the way. And so I just put out a post saying, I looked it up and I Googled it, and Starbucks says to use, you know, 2 tablespoons for every 6 ounces of water. And I was like, And then I did the measuring and I was like, holy crap, that's 14 tablespoons for a pot of coffee. That's a lot of coffee. Is that really what I have to do? And that was it. I typed this. I didn't even do it in videos format. And it got a ton of engagement. It's still firing off today. And it's little things like that. Or I picked up my daughter from the airport last night. What did I do? Took a little video of me giving her a kiss on the cheek. I'm just sharing my life. I'm letting people know my daughter's home to visit from California and I missed her. I documented it. It's that easy. You said it, Grant. Shift your mindset to turn on your camera more often. Everything that's happening every single day of every single minute is the possibility to document it. No, you're not going to do that. But 3-4 times a day, it's not that hard. Just share your life. And I wish Nick would share more of that real life. I want to see it.
I mean, ultimately, you got to think, you're talking about celebrities earlier in the podcast. We all feel like we have these relationships with them, but we have relationships based on less than 3% of their entire life. Like, we all think that we're seeing so much of their story, and ultimately we're seeing less than like 5 or 10 minutes of a 24-hour day. Sometimes even if that, you've got to understand, they're really not sharing that much with you, yet you feel so deeply connected by the way that they are sharing that content with you. And I think that's such an important thing to soak in. All right, so I want to ask both of you, we're talking about creating content and how you guys go about doing it. I'm a huge fan of models. I like looking at people that do things very successfully and then not necessarily ripping it off or anything like that, but just taking it, learning it, and then kind of spitting it back out the way that I understood it. And I think a lot of people have a lot of success that way. Who are some of your favorite influencers in the real estate space that you feel like are doing video marketing really well?
Well, we've been interviewing some of my absolute favorites recently, so I'll just talk about them. So we talked to Bob Tompkins recently. If you like the idea of being fun and sort of funny in your videos, I mean, he does some music video parodies that are just absolutely phenomenal. He's got over 1 million views on his very first one that he ever made, so he'd be great. If you want to go more the route of using YouTube, we talked to Malcolm Lawson a few months ago. And he kills it on YouTube. He actually has an outdoors channel that's close to 100,000 subscribers. He makes a bunch of money off of that. And then he's also built his real estate business around a different channel that's specifically about real estate. So if you're looking YouTube, he's even got a group on Facebook that you can join. I think it's called the Real Estate YouTube Mastermind. Hopefully I'm getting that right. But you can join him there. Valerie Van De Zilver, we talked to a few months ago. She does an awesome job, kind of community focused videos. She has a little bit of playfulness and does some sort of sketches and things like that. And then we also talked to Brad McCallum, who does an incredible job with listing videos. So again, what's cool about this is like all four of them have sort of distinctly different approaches to how they do this. And it just goes to show like there are a lot of different ways to utilize video. Video is an incredibly broad approach to communication. You just got to find the one that sort of resonates with you. So those would be my, I'm sure Jeff's got a bunch more to add to that.
Yeah. So for me, it's all about, again, remember, this is a business. And so I'm trying to find the stuff that inspires me to be, I'm following the people that inspire me to be better, but also inspire me to create new content. So for me, I kind of mentioned some of my pillars, but it's like leadership. So I'm following people like Tristan Ahumada, who's, you know, going to be who spoke at the event. When it comes to video, like people like Kyle Whistle. Kyle Whistle is kind of one of my quote unquote mentors in the video space. He just does a phenomenal job of creating community content. I love what he's done. When it comes to social media, like Dean Aguilar, Sharan Srivatsa, two guys that I really look up to because I nerd out on algorithm type conversations and how social media works and always staying ahead. And so I follow what I want to kind of live up to. And then even in the fitness space, like a guy like David Goggins, I love following David Goggins. He creates really interesting, entertaining content, which inspires me to create my own content. And, you know, people say it all the time. Gary Vee is another one that I love to follow, by the way, is don't try to be Gary Vee. You're not Gary Vee. And that's true. It's so true. But at the same token, I don't feel bad when I create a David Goggins style video, which they're not, I'm nowhere near David Goggins, but I know that most of my audience isn't seeing his stuff. So when I create that, the people that do like to see my fitness content probably look at that and be like, damn, that dude inspires me, just like Goggins inspired me. And so I don't overthink it. I just do it because I enjoy it. And then now I've become, you know, it's become a part of me. I enjoy sharing. And so look to the people, like you said, Grant, that inspire you, that you look up to, that are doing it at a higher level than you, learn from them, model them. I don't even care. I mean, TikTok is built around copycat content. There's nothing wrong with that. Because remember, it's so diluted. One audience is not seeing the other audience's content. So don't necessarily be afraid of that to a certain degree.
I love it. So Nick, tell me just really quickly, if I was going to sign up as a member of Business Video School, what would be some of my key takeaways in the first few days, few weeks?
Well, key takeaways, I mean, right off the bat, we do something called video recipes, where we're going to send you a script every single week for, and these are meant for real estate agents in particular. We send a script for a video idea. We make a version of that video ourselves that you can basically just imitate. We send instructions on how to make the video. We send all the assets that go with it. We even write the copy for the Facebook post you should share with that video. So if you want to, you can come in and day one, we've got a library of those we've already made, and you'll get a new one every week. That's probably one of our the most popular offering that we have. And so realistically, and we've seen students do this, you can come in, use those recipes and start making, you know, kind of professional looking videos from day one. Now, that being said, I would take a few of the courses, I would take a few of the workshops and sort of get the basics of just a little bit of lighting, a little bit of sound. There's some really simple things you can do to get started. But I think the ultimate takeaway, especially when you first get started in the school, is that you are going to face some of your discomfort with video, and you're going to get over it very quickly, because you're going to realize it's not nearly as hard as you think. There's a lot of other people going through the exact same experience alongside of you, which I think is super helpful. And you're going to realize that, like, this is a tool that you can use. And within a few weeks, we see a lot of people all of a sudden, they start to get pretty creative. They start to have some ideas for stuff that they wouldn't have thought they would ahead of time. So that's probably what they would see in the first month or so.
I love it. Guys, we're going to have a special link for you to click. Go check out Business Video School in the comments section, in the show notes. So scroll below if you get a chance and you want to check out Business Video School. Jeff, Nick, what are the best ways people can go follow you so they could maybe model some of the things that you're doing when it comes to content creation?
It's a good question, and I will answer it with the simplicity that you should also follow with your social media platforms. Try to stay consistent with your name across all platforms. Mine's very easy. I'm Jeff Fitzer, spelled P as in Paul, F as in Frank, I-T-Z-E-R, across all five of those platforms I mentioned, and I post regularly in all of them. So pick the one that you're in the most. Go follow. I mean, and here's the deal. I'm very transparent and I'm very accessible. If you have a question for me and you DM me, I'm going to reply. So I love helping. It's something I'm passionate about. It's why we're doing what we're doing with BVS. And so that would be mine. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, sort of the same thing for me. Nick Niehaus. Even though there's not that many Niehauses, there actually are other Nick Niehauses. So you got to make sure you find the right one. But it's Niehaus. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then I do have a TikTok. Vanessa and I have one together, so it's called Nick and Nessa, N-E-S-S-A, if you want to check out our TikTok. We're not nearly as entertaining as Jeff is, I would say, or we're newer to it. I'm just going to put it that way. I think we'll get caught up, but that's where you can find me.
If you're listening to this and you're like, there's nothing simple about how you say or spell either of these guys' last names, it's okay.
I know.
Understand. We're going to have it typed out in the show notes as well. Make sure you go give these guys a follow. They've been adding a ton of value to the Marketing Genius Network and to all of us over at Whitley lately, and we are super grateful for them. Go check them out. Go check out Business Video School. If you want to learn more about how you can become great at using video marketing to grow your business, grow your brand, there is nobody better to teach you, in my opinion. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks, and have an amazing day.